my fears are all gone.
My spirit
grows stronger each moment, each day. For Jesus is leading each step of the way. Amen. It's true. It's true. If we just turn our eyes upon Him tonight, focus on Him, take Him by the hand, trust Him for all things as He leads. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're grateful to be assembled here tonight, Lord. We still have this freedom, this opportunity, Lord. We appreciate it, Lord. So, Father, we just ask You to bless this gathering time. We look to You to speak. We look to You for all things, Lord, and so mindful, Lord, that without You we can do nothing, Lord. No man is worthy to take the book or even to look thereon, but the Lamb alone. Lord, we just invite Him tonight. We come home, come in our midst, break open the Word and commune with us, Lord. Be lifted up alone is our prayer. We just ask this now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated for just a moment. Nice to be with you again. You know, during the lockdown, we had just a few of us. And it was wonderful. It was fine. But it's good to be back with a few more people and to see a few different people this time. To see the left side, right side, a few different families. It's nice. So God bless you all. The Lord is good. So how many needs more of Him? My heart's just crying out tonight. That's my burden. I'm going to bring something out the Lord had on my heart, but this is just, I think we need more of Him than ever before. You know, this hour that we live in, we need more of His grace. And I think the older we get and the more we mature in Christ, I think that's the reality. That's what we realize, is how much we are nothing and He is everything. And this hour that we live in, the dangers, the things that are going on, it's just, I think it's more, we're just more desperate, more dependent upon Him all the time. So let's just have something on my heart. Very simple, just a simple message of grace in a way. And I think it kind of ties into some of the theme that we've been seeing lately in the ministry, and I just pray that it would be a blessing to you. So, you know, we'll start with a character that's really been on my heart lately. And it's just been so, I don't know, so encouraging, such a blessing to meditate on this character. We'll get there in a minute. Actually, let's go ahead and get there right now. Stand with me, if you would. Hebrews chapter 11. I love this verse, this individual. It's good for us to take time, I think, and to meditate on this. And as we do that, to see how great the grace of the Lord is, how beautiful it is, and how much we need it. So Hebrews 11 and verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perish not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies. You can be seated. And yes, it's Rahab that I have just been so blessed by this, to think of how God called her, how God used her, how God chose her. And we could all be encouraged to look at this, to look into this. But stopping with me just to meditate on those words is so awesome to me. How much of us would put those words together? By faith, the harlot. By faith, the prostitute, Rahab. And I love it, because right there, all human religiosity, any thought of worthiness is gone, demolished, destroyed. It's God and it's His grace. And the truth of the matter is every single one of us, from the oldest to the youngest, pastor to the janitor, as Brother Branham would say, we have nothing, nothing but His grace. And I just love that. You know, here she is, named, mentioned among the likes of Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Rahab. Oh, it's beautiful, isn't it? And here again, we are identified as well, just like her, in a sense, because there's nothing else, nothing we can claim, nothing we can cling to or hold to or point to, but His grace alone. And it's in this, seemingly, through the eyes of human beings, through this seemingly unworthy, impossible, unlikely vessel, God's grace is so beautifully magnified. Amen. Brother Branham, I love this. In the message, the invisible union of the bride of Christ, he's describing the bride. He's describing her. What does he call her? I love this. May I add to this woman grace. May I place her in the Bible also as the elect lady, this Miss Grace. That's it. That's all. There's nothing else. Nothing else we can point to. So let's look. That's my heart tonight, just to magnify our Lord Jesus Christ, to magnify His grace. And it's good for us sometimes to even focus, to think about our own weaknesses, our own frailty and infallibility, not fallibility, in order that we really recognize and appreciate and understand how great, how amazing His grace is. So we'll go through that. That's my theme. That's my heart tonight as we go through the Scriptures. Again, is to look at how beautiful that grace is, how it's everything. There's nothing else. So let's turn with me to, we'll go through quite a few. Some I'll read. I don't know why I do this in my notes. Some I copy and paste the Scriptures. Sometimes I just have them listed. So some we'll turn to and some I'll just read to you. But we'll go through quite a few things here. That's my desire, that the Lord would just be greatly lifted up and magnified in all this. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 26, a familiar passage. But boy, good for us again. By faith, the harlot Rahab. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 26 says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen." Savor that. Meditate on it. Let that sink in. "Yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him, His doing, had nothing to do with you. Of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God, He's made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Can I go back over that in the Wiest? Because I love the way the Wiest calls this out. And bear with me, I'll try to just go over this slowly. We can soak and kind of meditate on each statement line by line. It says, "For take a good look at your divine summons, brethren. Not many wise men according to human standards, not many men of dignity and power, not many who are of royal or aristocratic lineage are given that divine summons. But God selected out for Himself those individuals among the world of sinners, characterized by the aforementioned foolishness, in order that He might put to confusion those that are wise." Let me keep going. "And those individuals among the world of sinners, characterized by weakness." That's us. "God selected out for Himself in order that He might put to confusion those who are characterized by strength." And those individuals, just a little more, bear with me. Those individuals among the world of sinners who are not of royal or noble ancestry, but belong to the common people, and those who are utterly despised, God selected out for himself. The aforementioned classes of individuals looked upon as non-entities, in order that he might deprive of force, influence, and power those who think themselves to be somewhat. Listen, to the end that humanity may not, in a single instance, boast in his presence. Amen. Amen. There it is. Rahab, by faith, Rahab. I love it. I love her. I love what God, how great is our God. Amen. All, like I said, all sense of worthiness, all religiosity totally shredded and destroyed. It's God, it's his grace, it's his election. And I think, you know, especially in my heart, I've said this before, the young people, that they would see us, that they would never know, that they would see us as approachable, not untouchable, but to know that every single one of us were standing by God's grace. There's nothing else we can point to. Nothing at all can be reckoned or credited to self in any way. Isaiah verse six, chapter 60, verse 21 says, "Thy people shall also be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified." Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Continue, or just go over this. We pray as we read, even the Lord would be so lifted up and magnified. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace." His grace will be praised alone, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. No, it's not because your life was, boy, you're so spot on and you sure have your business in order and what a guy, what a gal, oh my, no. He's made us accepted in the beloved to the praise of the glory of his grace. And I think, you know, as we just look at these things, we got to examine ourselves in a way, and I'm not bringing this up because I see this in anybody, but it's just for us as humans, there's dangers. And here's what I mean. You know, we can preach about a lot of dangers outside that door, so to speak. But there's a lot of things we need to be mindful of, dangers inside this church, inside religious circles, inside church, and that we must guard and be mindful of. Because listen, let's face it. So the danger, here we go, that I'm getting to in all this, we're talking about grace. The danger of religious form, religious fig leaves that can creep out in a thousand ways within self, that self can somehow become magnified, or spiritual pride can creep into a place. Any thought at all in any way of self accomplishment or ability or goodness, watch. Watch for those things. It's a danger. Brother Branham said, he made the expression, he said the church becomes churchy. Watch for that. And in that, you begin to maybe have a certain class or a certain lens that we look at people, certain stereotypes. There's a danger there. You can get to where there's even almost a sense of a pedigree. God help us that would ever enter our minds again. I'm not saying I see that in anybody. I don't. I'm just looking at at these things, I say, Lord, help us to be mindful as humans, because we are human. We need to watch for these things. Watch for any spirit that would ever magnify or elevate man or self to the degradation of another. Watch for these things. Be mindful of these things. This is Brother Branham, just so beautiful. A little statement here in the message of grace. He said, oh God, it taken, listen to this. He said, oh God, it taken the grace of Jehovah to keep his family together. He says, and that's the only way we're Jehovah's family today, is because of the grace of Jesus Christ. We'd all be gone. We'd all be gone. But it's grace. See, there's no place for any pride, any arrogance whatsoever. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 11 says, the lofty looks of man shall be humbled, the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And verse 12, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and everyone that is lifted up, he shall be brought low. Turn with me to Luke chapter 18. May this always be us, how we... Luke chapter 18 and verse 10 says, two men went into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee, but I'm not as the other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. The publican, standing far off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, that would never leave our midst. But that would be in the depths of our hearts. The reality of his grace. Brother Branham said in the message, Abraham and his seed after him. Now he said, he called Abraham, by election and by grace, and give him eternal life, and told him he'd come to him in an old age. He didn't have one thing about it, or he didn't have to do one thing about it. Only thing, it was grace. And that's exactly the way the church is called today, is by grace you're saved through faith. And we know that's right. God calls his church by grace. If it wasn't today for the grace of God, oh, this is true. Listen to this. It makes me think of that song by Lornell Harris, you know, were it not for grace. If it wasn't today for the grace of God, you'd be out there in the rain watching a ball game somewhere. You'd be here on the highways. You'd be running around. You'd be in a bar room somewhere, out with some man's wife or some woman's husband. You'd be out in the world. Absolutely. But it's by the calling and grace of God that he's changed your mind. Thank you, Lord. And made you new creatures in Christ Jesus. And your soul looks up to him today. The expectations of his coming. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he beautiful? Don't you love him? We're nothing. We're nothing. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6 says, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you are more in number than any people. He didn't choose you because you're such a, again, your act is so together, and you're, boy, you're just such a swell guy. You are the fewest of all people. But the Lord loved you, because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Again, it's his calling, it's his grace, there's nothing else. Romans 9:16 says, then it's not of him that willeth, think of that, nor him that runneth, but of God that shows mercy. It's not even your choice. Yes, you make that choice, but he chose for you before the foundation of the world. I think of Gideon with his army of men. What a type there, what a picture, whittled down to 300 soldiers. I want to make it very clear, you have nothing to do with this. It's all me. It's all me. Grace, brothers and sisters, grace by faith, the harlot Rahab. Beautiful. I love it. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Good for us to keep this right before us all at all times. Verse 7 says, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?" And we're recipients. There's nothing else we can point to, nothing else we can hold to, nothing else but that. Recipients of his grace. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love him because he first loved us." I love this. John chapter 1 and verse 16 in the ESV says this, "For from his fullness have we all received, and grace upon grace." Grace upon grace. I say it again, how much more do we need this? More. Every day. As each hour goes by, each day passes, how much we need him and his grace. It's grace alone that's going to take us all away. We see our frailty, our weakness, our insufficiency. That's a good thing. Let's talk about that. Let's think about that more. That his grace can be magnified more in us. Romans 7:18, the Apostle Paul says, I know in me, in my flesh dwells no good thing. There is nothing good in me. Psalms 103 verse 14. You just go through these. Bear with me. It says, "For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." Do we remember that? Do we consider that? We need to. Sometimes we get a little bit arrogant. We get a little bit lifted up. We got to remember our place. Again, in Paul, in Philippians chapter 3 said, "I have no confidence in the flesh." Turn with me to James chapter 5. And verse 16 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Look at that. Confess your faults. Why are we saying this? Confess your faults. The Bible says we try to hide them. We try to cover them up. He says, confess them. Expose them. Talk about them. Talk about your faults. Why? Because we're human. Puts us all in the same playing field. We need him. Without him, we're nothing. Nothing. Confess your faults one to another. Look at verse 17. Elias was a man. He was a man subject. Not above like passions. He was subject to like passions. Same. Well, again, like I said, we are all in need of him and his grace. And I think, again, as I said before, sometimes I think even our young people, our children, to let them see these things in us is so important. Our weaknesses, our insufficiencies. Hey, pray for dad. Pray for mom. I'm discouraged. I'm going through this. Let them see your humanness. If they see this person that they think is untouchable, how are they going to ever share their hurts, their troubles, their faults with you? We need these things. Why do we all love the book of Psalms so much? Well, there's many reasons. The praises, and there's so many things. But we can identify with all those human weaknesses and those human traits so much. Lord, I need you. Lord, deliver me. Lord, help. Yeah, Lord, help us. We need him. We need his grace. Verse 6, verse 9 says, "Know ye not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And verse 11, "And such were some of you. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our Lord God." There's nothing good in any single one of us but him. Any good comes from him and from him alone, period. Brother Branham, in the message, God's Provided Way, he says, "Holy and divine God, we come into thy presence, we ask mercy, Lord. We do not long, or neither do we crave for justice. We could not stand the justice of God. The justice of God would condemn us and make us sinners and turn us away. We do not desire your law, Father, because your law makes us all a sinner, but we desire your grace. We desire your pardoning grace through Jesus, your Son, which all who will believe is accepted." Look at this. He says, it's beautiful. He says, "We do not try to figure anything out, Father, to make any certain achievement, to make us an organization or a denomination. We do not try to make ourselves big, but we just stay humble and we thank you for the achievement that you made for us. For he that will humble himself shall be exalted, but he that exalts himself to his own achievement, of course, shall be abased." Oh, don't you love him? He's beautiful. He's so good to us. And as we look at these things and we cry out, "Lord, I need more of you. I need more grace, more than ever before." Are we extending that? We must always. I've received it. Am I extending it? Am I giving it to others, to those around me? Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. Says, "And as every man hath received the gift, so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." You've received, now give. You know, the Bible in Revelation, it says, He has made us kings and priests. Now that "and" is very important. We could get excited that we're kings, but he says he's also made us priests. Yeah. We're to serve one another. What does that mean? How do we serve? Because we too, like it says in Hebrews 5, we're acquainted with infirmity. We're weak. Just like our Lord Jesus, he also came into human flesh. He went through the trials, the things that we went through, so that he could be that faithful high priest. Now he asks us that of each other, to serve one another, to minister to one another. It's all grace, brothers and sisters. All grace, nothing but him. His working, his doing. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So beautiful. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us." It's not me. It's not you. It's him. Mm. Notice that. It says, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels." The treasure is not of earthen vessels. It's in earthen vessels. It's all him, all his glory. Zechariah 4 verse 6 says, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's him alone. Romans 8, whom he's called, he's justified. Whose he's justified, he has glorified. He, not you, it's he. He did it. He's done it. No wonder, brothers and sisters, it's grace alone. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 7 says, he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace unto it. Nothing else we can point to, nothing else. No wonder Brother Branham said, call no man great. The great one is in our midst. It's grace, it's him alone that we look to, that we're identified with. Brother Ram, here in the message, Jehovah Jireh, he says, watch that pyramid as it shapes up the church. Justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then that's got to be honed out to when the headstone, he says, never did come to the pyramid. It was rejected, just like that cornerstone. But when the headstone comes, I've been to the pyramid, it fits, it's just so perfectly fit. You couldn't run a razor blade between it where the mortar is at. He said, and when the church comes, when the Christ comes to receive his church, the church will have the ministry just exactly like that. And listen, and through that grace, we'll raise the whole thing, then go the coming of the headstone, crying grace unto the Lord. Amen. There is none but him. Don't you love him? Just let's meditate on these things tonight. Again, going back to Hebrews 11, by faith, the harlot, Rahab. What beautiful words. What a beautiful God. How great is his grace. There's no room for pride. There's no room for self. Nothing else. No wonder Jesus is the Mount Transfiguration. We see Moses, Elijah come down. They came and they left. It was only Jesus left. It's Jesus. He alone lifted up. He alone exalted. Grace that takes us all the way. Brother Branham, here one more quote. He says in the message countdown, he's talking about the spiritual astronauts, us being the spiritual astronaut, God in Christ, and is got in Christ and is listening to the countdown of the word. He says, watch. He says, oh my, the countdown of the word, and they're headed to heaven, not to the moon. They'll pass the moon so fast they won't even see it. Oh my, waiting for the countdown. Yes, sir, waiting for the countdown is right. What are they doing? They're wrapped in Christ, in rapturing grace. Look up that phrase, rapturing grace. What does that tell you? 16 times he makes that statement, rapturing grace. Nothing they did themselves. Christ took the uneducated, the foolish things of the world, wrapped his astronauts in it, and empowered them with the Holy Ghost to take off. Amen. Don't you love him? He's so, so beautiful. Let me go back just in closing. I want to review just that last, the ending of that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He says, and then those individuals among the world of sinners who are of not of royal or noble ancestry, but belong to the common people, and those utterly destroyed, God selected out for himself the aforementioned classes of individuals looked upon as non-entities in order that he might deprive of force, influence, and power those who think themselves to be somewhat, to the end that humanity may not in a single instance boast in his presence. Oh my goodness. Isaiah 60, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I would be glorified. Amen. There's nothing but grace. Don't you love it? Don't you love Rahab? Isn't it just beautiful? Again, I've been meditating on this for weeks. Just beautiful. Those words, by faith, the harlot, Rahab, human mind, us, you know, outside of the Spirit, God would not utter those words, would not conceive such a thing, but it's Him, it's His grace, it's His sovereignty. Jacob and Esau, before either one had done good or evil, God called. Amen. It's grace and grace alone. Blessed be His name. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just bow before You tonight in awe of You, of Your grace, Lord. It's so amazing, Lord. So beautiful. Words can't express it, Lord. We stumble around. We try. We're doing our best to magnify You, Lord. But You're so beautiful. Lord, I pray tonight in every heart that You would be lifted up and magnified. Lord, that if there's any idols in any way of self, of accomplishment or ability, that those would be torn down, Lord. That You alone in our midst would be praised. That You alone would be adored and magnified, Father. Receive glory unto Yourself, Lord. Grant this, we ask, Father, bless the remainder of this service. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Let's worship the Lord tonight. Can we just sing, Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy. Sing it once more. Worship Him. Will you stand with me?
Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory. Glory and honor, glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created, hast all things created. Thou hast created.
Amen. Can we sing number 42 in the handouts? You deserve the glory. All glory. Amen.
You deserve the glory. Lord, we lift our hands in worship.
Says it all. There's no one else like you. We bow our heads before you even now and say, Father, all mouths are stopped. All dissenting voices become silent because our God has spoken. God speaks. He gives faith to a harlot, and who can say anything against it? He raises up the foolish things of the world, and who can utter a voice when God does it? As Paul said, they that glory, let them glory in the Lord, and that's what we do. Just say, you be glorified, you be magnified, Father, for truly, truly, you are the only great one. And how we love you and want everything in us to magnify your name. I think of David crying out in his heart when he knew and saw these things in his heart. When he cried, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Let it be, Father, around us. Let it be in the body of Christ to have that heart, that love, that revelation. From the beginning to the end, it's all you. From before the foundation of the world, from election, from repentance, to baptism, to sanctification, to filling of the Holy Spirit, every step of the way, it's you, and it's you that will take us home. By grace we have begun, by grace we will finish, even to the shouting, to the capstone, the headstone, grace, grace unto it. Be glorified in our hearts now, Father. We commit ourselves into your hands, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.